we present The Aeneid by Virgil, translated by Cecil Day Lewis and abridged by Tom Holland. Starring Ralph Fiennes as Aeneas and Sir Derek Jacobi as the narrator.
Arma virumque cano, Troiae qui primus aboris, Italiam, fato profugus. I tell about war, and the hero who first from Troy's frontier, displaced by destiny, came to the Labinian shores, to Italy. A man much travailed on sea and land by the powers above, because of the brooding anger of Juno, suffering much in war until he could found a city, the royal line of Alba and the high walls of Rome. We see him now, just out of sight of Sicily, towards deep water, his men crowding on sail and driving the foam flecks before them, when, all of a sudden, storm clouds are snatching the heavens, the daylight from the eyes of the Trojans. Night, black night, is fallen on the sea. And everything is threatening an instant death. Oars snap, then the ships yaw, wallowing broadside onto the seas. And then, piled up there, a precipice of sea hangs. One vessel is poised on a wave crest, for another the waters collapsing show sea bottom in the trough. The tide race boils with sand. All was great Juno's doing. But how had she been injured? What grievance made the Queen of Heaven so harry a man renowned for piety through such toils, such a cycle of calamity? There was a town of old, men from Tyre colonized it, Carthage, rich in resources, fiercely efficient in warfare. This town, they say, was Juno's favorite dwelling, much loved. And even from the long ago time, she cherished the aim that this should be, if fate allowed, the metropolis of all nations. Nevertheless, she had heard a future race was forming of Trojan blood, which one day would topple her strong-walled Carthage. And so Juno, afraid of this prophecy, tossed all over the sea Aeneas and those few others who had survived their city's fall to ride them off from their goal, Italy. Many years they were wandering round the seven seas, moved on by destiny. So massive a task it was to found the Roman race. And now, still the gale screams. Soon the ships have all sprung leaks and are letting the enemy pour in through the loosened joints of their hulls. One ship is caught by an avalanche wave. A helmsman is flicked from off the deck and headlong sent flying. But three times the vessel is twirled around by the wave ere the waters open and greedily gulp her down. A man or two can be seen swimming the huge maelstrom with weapons and planks and Trojan treasure spilt on the sea. Meanwhile, Neptune has felt how greatly the sea is in turmoil. He gazes out across the deep with a gaze of serenity. He sees the fleet of Aeneas all over the waters, dismembered, the Trojans crushed by waves and the sky in ribbons above them. Juno's vindictive stratagems do not escape her brother. He commands the waves, and at once the insurgent sea is calmed, the mob of cloud dispersed, and the sun restored to power. Aeneas's men, worn out, with a last effort make for the nearest landing place, somewhere on the coast of Libya. Here, with seven ships mustered, all that was left of his convoy, Aeneas now put in, and the Trojans, aching for dry land, tumbled out of their ships onto the sands they craved so, and laid their limbs, crusted with brine, upon the shore. They talked of their missing friends, longing to have them back, halfway between hope and fear, not knowing whether to deem them alive or utterly perished and far...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?